The question today is, what is predestination? That's a word that unnerves many people, so don't cut me off before you even hear me explain about predestination. It's a Bible word. It's used in the Bible at least four times as far as the word predestination. The Greek word is used more, and there's some synonyms of the Greek word that is also used. It's translated other ways, but don't be afraid of that. Now, some people say, well, that means predestination, and some who preach that believe that means what's going to be is going to be, and there's nothing you can change about that. And as a result, like one man who fell down the stairs and got up and shook himself and said, well, I'm glad that's over with. Well, that's not what predestination exactly means. And in other words, some believe predestination means that God chooses and says you to hell and you to heaven, you to hell, you to heaven. That is not what the Bible means when it talks about predestination. We must look at it and understand that this thing of predestination as far as salvation is concerned and understand what the Bible says about predestination. Now, the word predestination means to determine or decree beforehand. It means to put limits or boundaries upon beforehand. It has to do with the will of God and deals with a purpose. You must not leave that out. So, therefore, as we said, it's used four times in the English. The word used in the Bible involving three things that's predetermined in man concerning his salvation. And it's not to determine that he will be saved, but it's only for those who have been saved. The Bible says and uses it one time here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 5. And it's right after the verse that he said there, as he said in verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And we're chosen, as we've said, the doctrine of election. We're chosen in Christ. And that's because of the foreknowledge and the sanctification of the Spirit and obedience that man has as he repents and believes the gospel. But now, look what Paul said to the saints at Ephesus. He's writing this book in context to the saints at Ephesus. And he said in verse 5, having predestinated us, Paul puts himself in the same group with the saints at Ephesus. And he said, he hath predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, had he have predestinated us. In other words, God knew, in other words, beforehand, he said, I have predestinated, I have determined beforehand, and made a decree beforehand that everyone who is saved, who comes to the knowledge of salvation and is born again, I have predestinated him, I have determined beforehand that he will be placed as an adult son. In other words, he said he'll be unto adoption. That word adoption means to be placed as an adult son to enjoy and share in the inheritance as with the Lord Jesus Christ. The word adoption, of course, when you're adopted, and as far as adoption is concerned, you can never be disinherited, by the way. That ought to speak volumes to us concerning this thing of people believing you can be lost and then saved. But he said, I predetermine, I'll place you as an adult son, adopted son, and you will share in the inheritance with the as much as the natural born son. I want to tell you who's the natural born son in one sense. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone who's been saved will share in the inheritance that the Lord has for him. We'll share in that with him. The Bible says in Romans, we're heirs, joint heirs and heirs together with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Lord predetermined before the foundation of the world that everyone who's going to be saved will share in the inheritance that the Lord has for them. In other words, they'll be placed as an adult adopted son. And that's one thing, one time that word is used. Predestination has nothing to do in that context with a lost man. Only those that are saved will be placed as an adult son and join in the inheritance with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, verse number 11 of Ephesians 1, it's also used here, the word predestinated. It said, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will. Now, that seems like almost he's saying the same thing he said in verse number 5 of Ephesians chapter 1, when he talked about how that we have obtained an inheritance. And notice again, it's the we. Paul places himself in that same group, so he's talking to those who've been saved. Those who are saved, he has predestinated something. And really the word there where it says we have obtained an inheritance, in the Greek it really is saying we were designated as a heritage. You see, he's already said that we're going to join in the inheritance that God has for us. He's predetermined that. But now he's saying that we are the Lord's inheritance. We are His inheritance is what it amounts to. We are His heritage. The saints are God's heritage. In other words, we are His possession through the work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. Therefore, it was according to the counsel of His own will. That word counsel has the idea of intelligence and deliberation. In other words, God works all things after the counsel of His will. Now, that doesn't mean that God acts without reason or thinking things through as we sometimes do, but what God wills is with reason, intelligence, and deliberation. And yonder, back yonder, in the council halls of God, He predetermined, He predestinated every child who's saved that they will be His inheritance. So we will share in the inheritance as we're placed as an adult son. We're predestined to that if we're saved. Also, we're predestined to be His inheritance. But then again, the word is used. It's used two times in Romans chapter number 8, verse number 29 and 30. But verse 29 says of Romans 8, For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. In other words, we know that He's predestinated every child of God that's saved. They're going to be made like the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why He's still working on us, as the songwriter said some years ago. He's still working on us, making us what we ought to be. And so He's conforming us to the image of His dear Son. He decreed that beforehand. And He's done that we might be like Him. You realize something? He's going to work all things together for good. Verse 28. We've quoted that verse so many times in Romans 8. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And therefore, He works all things together in our lives that we might be conformed to the image of His Son. Now, it's a continuous process. That's the sanctification process that in which the Lord is working on us and saving us from the power of sin day by day. But He's going to finish that one day, and He does that when the Lord comes back and in the rapture and carries us home to be with Him. We'll have a glorified body, and the Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, we'll be like unto the Lord Jesus Christ. We will be made in His image. Why? The Lord predetermined that. He determined beforehand and marked out the boundaries and the limits upon us and caused things to come our way in our lives that would make us grow, make us separate from the sins of the world, cause us to be made into the image of His dear Son. Why? Because He predetermined that. That's predestination, and it's only for a saved person. But you notice in that verse, it said, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. You cannot leave out the... in other words, God's predestination, you can't leave out the foreknowledge. In other words, you can't have it operating without the foreknowledge of God. We can go back and see some examples in some other areas in the Bible where we know that God knew Adam would sin and he would need a Savior before the world ever existed. And what did He do? He determined beforehand that Jesus would die for man's sin. He said this in 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 20, who verily, talking about the Lamb of God that we were redeemed by, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Now, Jesus is no afterthought. Some people think He is and think that, God's program failed under law and He had to come up with another idea. Not so. You see, Jesus is no afterthought. He was foreordained. He was predetermined and decreed in the mind of God that He would die on the cross of Calvary for the sins of men. But you realize something. Paul said, or at least Acts, it says here, as the children of Israel in the book of Acts, they were, not the children of Israel, but the apostles in the book of Acts, as they were coming and they had, of course, been arrested and whatnot and told not to preach in His name. But it said in verse number 23 of Acts 4, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of the servant David hath said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? And the kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. And then he says this, of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. So you realize something? God predetermined back yonder in the council halls of God that Jesus would die for our sin. He marked it out beforehand. He had foreknowledge. It's according to foreknowledge. And so you cannot leave out the foreknowledge of God. God also knew that there would be a famine in Egypt. Therefore, he chose Joseph to be the deliverer and predestinated him to the pit and Potiphar's house and the prison so that he might be in the palace to deliver the nation of Israel. All things work together for good to them who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. God also knew we would need an example of one who suffered to help us through our suffering. Therefore, he chose Job and predestinated him to suffer and become the ideal sufferer for all mankind. God also knew the Pharisees would be bound with tradition. Therefore, God chose a child and predestinated him to be born blind in John 9 so that he could be used to break the tradition of the Pharisees. God foreknew those that would be saved and predetermined three things or predestinated three things. Once you're saved, he predetermined that you would be placed as an adult son and join in the inheritance that God has going to give his son, heir and a joint heir. He also predetermined that we would be Christ's inheritance, the Lord's inheritance. And also, he predetermined that we would be conformed to the image of God. Folks, when you come to the word predestination, don't be afraid of that word. It's a Bible word. Don't be afraid to study about it and rightly divide the Scripture. Predestination has nothing to do with a lost man as far as salvation is concerned. He said, though, he did predestinate you to be conformed to the image of his Son, to be his inheritance, and to join in the inheritance that the Lord has for you one day. So don't be afraid of that word. Predestination is God's decree that he marked out beforehand where that you'll have everything that God wants you to have and be what God wants you to be once you're saved. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.